صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، سيد الممجد، بشير المصدق، المصطفى الأمجد، محمود الأحمد، أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعن الله على الظالمين من الأولين والآخرين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد وقوله الحق، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد. Awaited Savior of Humanity, Imam al-Hujjah alayhi salam, my respected elders, brothers and sisters, salamun alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our commentary on Ziyarat al-Waritha has arrived at the line which we discussed this evening, insha'Allah, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Isa, ruhillah. Peace and blessings be upon you, O the inheritor of Isa, the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus yesterday we spoke about the line in the verse which said, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Musa, kalimillah. In that, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam is considered to be the inheritor of Nabiullah Musa alayhi salam. Why so? Because firstly, Musa alayhi salam was sent to the ultimate tyrant of that era, being Fir'aun. And of course, the mission of Aba Abdullah alayhi salam was to remove and topple through a spiritual revolution in the Ummah, the greatest tyrant known throughout history, being Yazid ibn Muawiyah. We also stated that the story of Musa alayhi salam has a vast amount of quantity in regard to his relationship with his community, Banu Israel. And we stated that within the Holy Quran, the traditions of Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim ajma'een designate that often when you read the story of Banu Israel, you can actually see a mimic, a copy in regards to Banu Umayyah. And therefore, if we want to understand the characteristics of Banu Umayyah, we just need to look within the Holy Quran at the characteristics of Banu Israel. And the third reason is because the trial and tribulation that Prophet Musa alayhi salam suffered at the hands of Banu Israel, Aba Abdullah alayhi salam suffered very similar through his own Shia and the trials and tribulations that his own Shia gave to him. And thus, we needed to extract those lessons so we could understand them and thus place them into our own lives today in the 21st century relative to the circumstances that we find in the world today. The line, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Isa, ruhillah, could be one of the most interesting lines in regards to the ziyarat of waritha. As in, there is so much intimate and wondrous comparison between the Master of the Martyrs and Isa Ruhullah alayhi salam from the Holy Quran. And when you look within the Holy Quran and see the story of Isa alayhi salam and why he has been given certain titles and why he has been given certain characteristics and how all of those appear to manifest themselves in one way or another in the life of the Master of the Martyrs, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa jibril. The story of Isa alayhi salam in the Holy Quran starts in chapter number 3, Surah Al-Imran, in around verse 32-33 onwards. It actually starts from his grandmother, in that the story states, and a woman from Imran, when she got pregnant, she dedicated what was in her womb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This wife of Imran alayhi salam is known as Hannah. Hannah ultimately is the grandmother of Isa alayhi salam, and therefore the story starts here. Hannah salamullahi alayha states in the Holy Quran, I dedicate what is in my womb to your service. Now, according to our commentaries, what she expected to give birth to was a male, because at that time, primarily, and maybe in some places today as well, it was a male-ordained society. And therefore, for a priest, therefore for a religious leader, it was likely that it was going to be a male to go and lead the communities. Hence, Hannah, salamullahi alayha, wished to give birth to a male so that he could live a life of righteousness and lead the community on her behalf. A number of lessons are clearly taken from this. Number one, that before we have children, the first thing must be to dedicate those children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's service. Many of us, we have children, we haven't even stopped to think about how I want to raise them, how I want them to be engaged in the community, what tasks I expect them to fulfill. Number one. Number two, the fact that this birth wasn't going to be just a male, that this birth was going to be Maryam salamullahi alayha, that it shows in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not only the males that can serve this community. We need to have spiritual females. We need to have dhakirat within the community. We need to have women that can lead a household in a righteous manner. And therefore, as much as there is a responsibility to bring up righteous males, leadership within the community, in its own relative term, there needs to be good women leaders, leaders for their own community, leaders for the holistic community. Number two. Number three, sometimes we make a dua and we think we know what's best. Allah, please give me X. Allah, please give me Y. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may choose to give or he may choose to delay. And therefore, if something does not come immediately, I need to take strength that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Hannah salamullahi alayha wanted a male from her offspring. She received Maryam salamullahi alayha. It might have been that the male would have been a phenomenal male, but you have not received someone who is amongst all women of paradise. And therefore, even though I may think I want something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately knows best. Here, when she gives birth to Maryam salamullahi alayha, the verses quote, and she exclaims, my Lord, a lady, a woman, female, is not like the male, and the male is not like the female. Meaning that I expected to give birth to the male. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, this is what we have given to you. And eventually, this lady grows up to be Maryam salamullahi alayha, one of the greatest women of this whole world, and one of the great leaders for our time. It is necessary for us to know the story of Maryam salamullahi alayha. Indeed, one chapter of the Holy Quran is actually named after her, chapter number 19 of the Holy Quran. This shows straight away the respect that is shown to a woman within the Islamic world. In that, if we want to engage with people outside, many a time we are criticized that the level of respect that we have for women is beneath that of male. We can easily identify that Maryam salamullahi alayha is given an entire chapter within the Quran named after her. We must know that story so that as we have many Christian friends, we can engage in dialogue with them. Your story of Isa alayhi salam is X, ours is Y. This is why we have come to this belief system. Let us discuss and debate and try to find the ultimate path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Maryam salamullahi alayha grew up, she of course has a very close relationship with a family member, Zakariya alayhi salam. You would often find Maryam salamullahi alayha in a state of worship, in a state of prostration and bowing. And it came to one point where Maryam salamullahi alayha was so blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Zakariya alayha salam comes and meets with Maryam salamullahi alayha. He exclaims, "What is this that you have in front of you? There are fruits of the summer placed in front of you in the winter, and there are fruits of the winter placed in front of you in the summer. How can this miracle be?" She responds by saying, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to whom He wills and takes away from whom He wills." Now here, one of the beauties actually begins to see the parallels between Maryam salamullahi alayha and the Lady of Light, Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Because when fruits of the summer were given to Lady Maryam salamullahi alayha in the winter, and the fruits of the winter given in summer, here in the 21st century, that might not be a major thing. Because we have a global trade, we're able to refrigerate, we're able to put seeds and grow them in different types of forecasts and fields. For us to have fruits of the summer brought to us in the winter is very easy today in the 21st century. Whereas, due to the lack, or at that time, the relative technological advancement, that wasn't possible. It was astounding to see that Zakariya alayhi salam actually exclaims and says, "How do you have the fruits of the summer in the winter, and the fruits of the winter in the summer?" According to our narrations, there is an incident one day where the household of Ahlul Bayt salamullahi alayhim ajma'een had become very, very poor. So poor that they really were down to their last dinar. Have you ever been down to your absolute last dinar? What happens? You end up having to choose what to buy within the family. Something has to go amiss because you only have your last dinar available to you. And so it came that the children, Hasanain, salamullahi alayhima, were very hungry within the house. And so with the last dinar, Lady Zahra salamullahi alayha went to her husband, the commander of the faithful, said, "Ya Ali, now it's become too much. We've been fasting. We really need to feed the children something. Here is our last dinar. Please go to the market and buy us something. Go to the market, bring us some food, because now the hunger is becoming a lot. We need to look after ourselves." And so, Amir al-Mu'mineen departs the house and he walks towards the marketplace. As he walks towards the marketplace, he walks past a companion by the name of Miqdad ibn Aswad al-Kindi. Miqdad is one of the greatest companions. In fact, our sixth Imam alayhi salam is a hadith about Miqdad. He states that in regards to the verse, "قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمُوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى," there were only a few companions that ever truly remained 100% loyal to this verse. One of those was Miqdad ibn Aswad al-Kindi. Miqdad crosses the path. As he meets the commander of the faithful, just like me and you, if we're in need, we call out, "Ya Ali," we call out, "Ya Mahdi." When we're in need, we ask for the intercession of Ahlul Bayt, salamullahi alayhim ajma'een. Miqdad meets with Amir al-Mu'mineen and says, "Ya Ali, I am so hungry. We have become so poor in the family that now we have nothing to eat. Do you have any money with you that you can give me so that I may buy something from the market?" Subhanallah, Amir al-Mu'mineen has the last dinar. A companion comes and says, "I have nothing. Please, do you have anything to give me?" What do you think the commander of the faithful is going to do? Can he refuse that request? If he had one grain to give, he would have given it. And therefore, of course, what did he do? He extended his hand and he gave that one last dinar to Miqdad. Miqdad goes on his way and buys food and goes home to eat. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, now he's thinking, "What do I do? My wife is expecting that I come home with a little bit of food. She's given me this money. Of course, she will be ultimately pleased that I have given the money to Miqdad that he asked. But what do I do now in a practical sense?" Where does he go? He decides to leave for the haram. He decides to go to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he enters into the haram, who is leaving? Rasulullah. As Rasulullah is leaving, Rasulullah says to him, "Ya Ali, I would like to come home this evening for dinner and partake with you and the family for dinner. He's your father-in-law. He's your prophet. He's your brother. He's your cousin. What are you going to do? So Amir al-Mu'mineen, of course, says, Inshallah, you come home, we'll make sure we have dinner together. He leaves the haram and he goes back home. He comes home to his dear wife, Zahra, salamullahi alayha, and says, Oh my dear wife, this incident with Miqdad occurred. I had to give him the dinar. But your father, the noble prophet, is coming for dinner in a few minutes. We have nothing to give him. What do we do? Here, the story of Maryam, salamullahi alayha, comes. Because Zahra, salamullahi alayha, stopped and looked towards the sky. Said, Ya Allah, you are the one who gave Maryam foods of the winter in summer and foods of the summer in winter. I am Fatima, salamullahi alayha. Therefore, bring me food so I may serve my father, Rasulullah. At that very moment, Jibra'il Amin descended with a plateau of food from heaven for them all to partake in. He gave it to Zahra, salamullahi alayha. Rasulullah came and said, What is that smell I smell from Jannah? This is the food Jibra'il Amin has given from the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim ajma'een. And so we see here a connection straight away between Maryam salamullahi alayha and Zahra salamullahi alayha. And as such, when Maryam was born and she had these miraculous feats, at that time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Maryam, you will bear a child. Maryam salamullahi alayha responds by saying, Ya Allah, how can it be when no man has touched me? As we know, of course, this was an immaculate birth. No man had been and come near or touched Maryam salamullahi alayha. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places his ruh directly, and this becomes the birth of Isa alayhi salam. Here in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks certain blessed characteristics of Isa alayhi salam. The verse states in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 45, إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ يَا مَرْيَمُ. And when the angel said, O Maryam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you glad tidings of a word from him. This language is very important. Follow the Arabic with me for a minute. Inna Allaha yubashiruki bi kalimatin minhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you glad tidings of a kalima min him, a word from him. What happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is so blessed. He is wajihan fi dunya wal akhirah. Two titles, kalimat minhu, wajihan fi dunya wal akhirah. This is about Isa alayhi salam. That he is a word from Allah and he is wajihan. Wajihan means exceptional in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But exceptional in this world and in the next. He is highly regarded in this world and in the next. The following verse says that he will speak to mankind fil mahdi sabiyya. That he will speak to mankind in the cradle. Let's look at these three points. Number one, kalimatin minhu. Second point, wajihan fi dunya wal akhirah. And last, that he will speak to mankind fil mahdi sabiyya, from the cradle. What happened in this story is, the first thing we need to realize is the word kalima, word, has potentially three different meanings and how it applies to Isa alayhi salam. A word can literally mean word, meaning that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Maryamu, Inna Allaha yubashiruki bikalimatin minhu, I give you glad tidings of a word from me, it means my word is sufficient to make sure you give birth to Isa alayhi salam. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only has to say, Kun fayakun. It's a word, and not even literally a word, it's a metaphor to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has such authority and power that all he needs to do is desire and that thing happens in creation. First meaning, kalimat minhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just needed to do this and created Isa alayhi salam. One. Two, kalima in the Arabic language is often used to denote the sharia or the divine ordinances of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a divine kalima or divine kalimat are the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that with Isa alayhi salam, there is an update in the sharia, an update in the religion, and therefore a movement from Musa alayhi salam to Isa alayhi salam. Thus, O Maryam, I give you glad tidings that within your womb is Isa, the kalima, the expression of law on earth. Number two. Number three, kalima can be a blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last verses of Surah Al-Kahf, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْلَ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if all of this sea were the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not become exhausted, even if you were to bring another sea to come and replace it. Meaning that not just the words, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no way you can exhaust the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three, the fourth way to understand the kalima from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a promise. Wa'ad is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Maryam, Ya Maryamu, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ, I give you glad tidings of a word from me, it actually means a promise from me. I give you, Maryam salamullahi alayha, a promise that in your womb right now grows the fulfillment of my promise. What promise? We go back to Hannah salamullahi alayha. Hannah, when she was pregnant, what did she say? My Lord, accept from me this which is in my womb. I wish to dedicate a male in service to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment accepted. When you dedicate in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does He reject? If you give charity, fi sabilillah, does He reject? No. When you do salah, does He reject? No. When you recite Quran in His way, does He reject? No. Thus, when Hannah salamullahi alayha said, I dedicate what is in my womb, believing it to be a male, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. But He delayed the acceptance to become Isa alayhi salam. From you will be Maryam. After Maryam will come Isa alayhi salam. Therefore, kalimatin minhu is the prophecy, is the fulfillment of my promise, Maryam, to your mother, Hannah, that from her will come in her lineage a male that will serve me. That is Isa alayhi salam. Now here, this is profound, profound tafsir. Profound tafsir by some of our scholars. That this concept, that this promise, skipped the generation and moved to another person. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to fulfill the promise to a later generation. To a later generation. Here, Isa alayhi salam is kalimat minhu. He is the fulfillment of the promise. In the same way, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn is the inheritor of Isa alayhi salam, correct or not? As-salamu alayka ya waritha, Isa ruhallah. In which way is Husayn ibn Ali to be the inheritor of Isa alayhi salam? Simply because when Ibrahim alayhi salam thought that he had killed his son Ismail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we ransom you to a latter generation. We promise that this will occur. In the same way, we promise to Hannah salamullahi alayha, we will accept from her. It was delayed to a later generation. Bidhibhin Adheem was also delayed to a later generation. Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam is the fulfillment of the promise. Therefore, he is also kalimat minhu. Isa alayhi salam is kalimat minhu, promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aba Abdullah al-Husayn is kalimat minhu, a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. Number two, the next part of the verse said what? After kalimat minhu, it said, he was wajihan fi dunya wal akhirah. He is exemplified. He is honored. He is supreme in this world and in the next. Subhanallah. Of course, Isa alayhi salam is honored in this world and in the next. He is someone of such high caliber in this world and in the next. But here, even in Da'a Tawassul, we use the word wajihan. In which way? We say, Ya wajihan indallah. In the same way that we express that Isa alayhi salam is this astounding position, personality in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Da'a Tawassul, Ya wajihan indallah, ishfa' lana indallah. They are also both wajihan fi dunya wal akhirah. However, in terms of fi dunya and akhirah, if Isa alayhi salam is here, imagine the station of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn fi dunya wal akhirah. In akhirah term, in the terms of akhirah, can you imagine Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam has a hadith where he said, he who visits me after my death, I come to visit him. And if anyone would be in the state of hell by virtue of him coming to visit me, I, Husayn ibn Ali, come and take him out of hellfire. Wajihan fi dunya wal akhirah. Number two. Number three, the verse said, Isa alayhi salam, he would speak to mankind, fil mahdi sabiyya. That he would speak to mankind whilst he was in his cradle. Meaning what? Whilst he was a child, whilst he was a baby. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this incident in detail in Surah Maryam. What happened? After Maryam salamullahi alayha gave birth, people came to her and began to do buhtan upon her. They began to accuse her, O Maryam, your father was not a bad man, and your mother was not an unchaste woman. Therefore, how is it that you have come with a child when you're not married? It was an abuse. They were abusing Maryam salamullahi alayha. At that point, she pointed towards her child. وَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ They responded, how can a child who has just been born speak to us? He's still in the cradle. He's still a few days old or a few hours old. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what Isa alayhi salam said, إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابُ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a book and made me a prophet. He has made me auspicious and to bring blessings wherever I may go, and desired that I do goodness towards my parents. Subhanallah. Imagine how Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam is the warith of Isa alayhi salam at this point. If Isa alayhi salam spoke whilst he was only a few hours old, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn spoke whilst he was in the womb. How so? The hadith says that one day Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was in Masjid Nabawi. As he was in Masjid Nabawi, one of the companions came running towards the coming towards the haram. Ya Rasulullah, your daughter Zahra, salamullahi alayha, has collapsed. He comes back to the house. Ya Zahra, what has happened? She says, this child, it speaks to me. Zahra, what does he say? He speaks from the womb. And he says, Ana al-Gharib, Ana al-Gharib. I am gharib. I am the one who is made estranged. In which way? Because despite this whole universe being his homeland, when no one comes to your aid, you feel entirely alone from people. You can be on absolute haq, but if no one comes to support you at that moment, you feel mostly alone from everyone in this world. Hence he stated on the 10th of Muharram, who will come to our aid? Who will come to our aid? Who will respond to the call of the grandson of Rasulullah? Ana al-Gharib. The next day, again, Rasulullah was in Masjid Nabawi. Again, someone came running to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, Zahra has collapsed. He comes back to the house, says, Zahra, what happened? She again says for the second day, this child from my womb speaks to me. Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, what did he say that day? Anil Atshan, I am the one thirsty, I will be thirsty on the 10th of Muharram. Crying out already from within the womb what is going to take place within him. The third day again, Rasulullah is situated in Masjid Nabawi. Again, someone comes running towards him, Ya Rasulullah, Zahra salamullahi alayha has collapsed. Again, he comes home. What happened? What does he cry out? Ana shaheed. I am the great martyr. I am the martyr of Islam. I am the master of the martyrs. And therefore, if Quran said that Isa alayhi salam was the one who was to speak from within the cradle, Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam was to be the one who spoke within the womb. Here we can clearly see a relationship. When the sixth Imam alayhi salam said, As-salamu alayka ya waritha Isa ruhallah, it was for one of these reasons as to why he is designated as being the inheritor of Isa alayhi salam. Outside of this, there is a second reason. And this is something that we need to take into our own lives and understand. According to the Holy Quran, Isa alayhi salam had some of the greatest of companions. We call them his disciples. The Holy Quran is littered with stories about the disciples. As an example, in Surah Al-Imran, it talks about the disciples. In Surah Al-Yaseen, it talks about the disciples. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَأَزَّدْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. That there was an individual who would go to the different cities and preach, and we strengthened them. There was two individuals who went, we strengthened them with a third. Who is being spoken about here? We read these verses day after day, month after month, year after year. We need to know who is being spoken about in these verses of Surah Al-Yaseen. These were the companions of Isa alayhi salam. They were designated with the responsibility of going from city to city, preaching and doing tabligh on their behalf. In the same way that Isa alayhi salam was granted the greatest of companions, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam was granted the greatest of all companions. We stated in a previous night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the great companions within the time of Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said within Surah Al-Imran that you are the best of nations. Kuntum khayrun ummatan ukhrijat linnas. Why? Because you do amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. تأمرون بالمعروف